The following lecture, titled The Role of Nature in Education, was delivered Saturday, June the 7th, 1997, at the Omni Hotel in downtown Atlanta, Georgia. The lecturer is Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, and now Imam Muhammad.
We praise Allah. We witness that He is one and that He has no partner or assistant helping Him in the rule of the heavens and the earth. That everything that comes to Him comes as a servant. We turn to Him asking for guidance, forgiveness. We believe in Him and we do not reject Him. The prayers and the peace be upon His servant, His messenger, Muhammad, and what follows of that recognition we pay to the last of the prophets, the seal of the prophets. Inshallah, for about 20 minutes, 30 minutes maximum, I will try to share with you my thoughts. We don't have any knowledge. All knowledge is with Allah and comes from Allah. We don't have anything new to offer. We just discover. And Allah is the finder. When we discovered, it was not us who discovered. It was God who guided us to where it was. So God is really the finder. Al-Wajid. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Highly glorified is He. The role of nature and education. That is the theme, I think. We could really give the answer and no more time than it took to give them to state the question. The role of nature in education is mother. Mother. Nature is the mother of education. When we say nature, we're talking about the inner workings of a thing. The inner workings of a thing tells us it's nature. Nature is another word, way of saying maybe function, performance, purpose. Function, performance, purpose. How does the thing exist? What is its function? How does it perform? What is its purpose? If we know those three questions, I think we will know the nature of the thing. As for the human being, God makes a statement, and that statement, in my opinion, is the clearest statement we have on our nature. And Allah says, He did not create men or jinn except to be servants, except to be servants, to serve Him, except that they be servants of His, or to serve Him. So we are created to serve Allah. Then our nature is servant. Our nature is abd. Our nature is abd, servant. That's our nature. Our nature is to serve. And the nature of a thing is the description of that thing, or the perception of that thing that outlives every other description of that thing, or perception of that thing. the nature stays. We can change it. We can bury it. We can even destroy it. But in time, it's going to come back again. It's going to survive. It's going to live again. In time, it will come back again. So if Allah has created us to be His servant, and we may depart from that and serve other gods, other interests, but eventually we're going to come back to God. Eventually we're going to have to serve God. So that is the nature. The nature of the human being is servant of God. Now, the nature of human being is Muslim. Muslim. And what does Muslim say to us? Muslim, the term Muslim says that there is a will, a spirit, a will, a spirit with the human being's creation. That determines the life and the outcome for that human being. If he goes against that nature, he'll have a bad life. If he accepts that nature and goes in accord with that nature, he'll have a good life. The word suggests peace, Muslim. It expresses peace, Not suggest peace, pardon me, correction. It expresses peace, Muslim. So, the tendency in the soul or in the life of the human being to be at peace, to want peace, sometimes is, I would say, confused. Incorrectly expressed. It can be even expressed in war, in violence, even in self-destruction. A person can be destroying themselves, and we might not know why. They might not know why. But it is possible, not only possible, but likely, that the motivation, the thing beneath and the line, the self-destruction, is desire to have peace. In the field of psychiatry or psychoanalysis, sometimes the doctor will tell you to act out your rage. He'll give you something to beat up on or something to destroy. And he thinks that that is the cure for you. That for you to have peace, you have to first act out your rage. Have something to beat up on or something to destroy. Peace is the nature. Peace is the nature, and servant is the nature. The best way to have this peace is to fulfill your obligation as servant. That's the best way to have this peace. Fulfill your obligation as servant. So the nature is a mother, huh? Nature's a mother. Nature gives us to a world of trial, a world of temptation, a world of challenge and needing a challenge. The mother bird is said that the mother bird will wait for the young bird to get up the courage to take to the wind, to jump out of the nest and try out his wings from the wind. Sometimes, well, not just most of the time, the little young bird just doesn't have that much courage. So the mother bird will push it out of the nest, get a little push, make it fall from the air. Nature, Mother Nature is the same way. Mother Nature gives us to good situations and to bad situations. But that's the way she raises us. Now, she's not our boss. God is our boss. She wants us to discover our boss. So she helps us by putting us into bad situations so we can cry out for mama, and mama can't help. So then we finally discover God, our boss, the creator of both mama and us, the nature and the human being. Now, where the role of nature really is to be seen is in the human intellect, the activities of the human intellect. The human intellect, in order for it to establish itself, it must feed upon Mother Nature. Mother Nature. It must feed upon Mother Nature. As it feeds upon Mother Nature, it develops, just like the life develops inside the mother. As it feeds upon Mother Nature, it develops. It develops more and more and more and more. It develops so much, it can come out of Mother Nature. It can separate itself from Mother Nature. It can leave Mother Nature and look back at Mother Nature and say, now how can I help my mother? With respect for Mother Nature, with appreciation for Mother Nature, with a love for Mother Nature, it has become so mature now, so developed, that it really sees itself in a position to assist its mother. Then with knowledge that has been extracted out of Mother Nature, the child of Mother Nature began to see how can the intellect assist Mother Nature. And a new world began to develop, a world of science, industry, great progress. But we shouldn't forget our mother, should we? And certainly, we shouldn't forget the God who made it all possible, the creator of all of it. Her and us. You see? The role of nature. Now, that's enough for that, I think. What I want to bring to your attention now is trouble for the intellect that I see in this world. I gave it last night, but I want to also bring it to you at this particular time. In Islam, there is no such thing as morality as we have it in the West. There's no such thing. We don't have any idea like that in Islam, morality. Not as it is in the West. I don't know even a term for morality in Islam, in Arabic. They got it, I'm sure there's some. But I'm sure it's a term that was formed to please the demands of the West for a term. when we find it in the dictionary, that's what it would be most likely. A term that they arrived at just to please the rest. What is morality? What is this morality? Islam wants us to see ourselves as creation of Allah with a design on our life that Allah gave us that invites us to serve the will of Allah in the world so that we will have the world and the hereafter. Understand that Allah wants us to have the world and the hereafter. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. Our Lord, give us in this world excellence, hasanatan, excellence. So Allah wants us to have excellence in this world. And Allah says, highly praised is He, who has forbidden my servants the good things of this world. They are for them in this world, the khayrat, the things that benefit us in a good way. They are for them in this world and exclusively for them in the hereafter. It's a God thing. And this is very important for the Muslim world today. Because the Muslim world became such a part of split. There's a word for it. One part of my life is over there, separated from the other part that's over here. And they don't live together. These two parts of my life don't live together. The spiritual and the material. What we call the worldly and the spiritual. They're not living together. Life is over there, having no communication with my life over here. Seeing the life over there as the enemy of the life over here. Split. And position against itself. The life is split, separated, and positioned against itself. So this is the way the Muslim world has been. And too many of our leaders in the Muslim world are still like that. They're talking about the spiritual. They think that this spiritual is going to save everything. Spiritual is going to save everything. But when God made a Khalifa, still remembering nature. Everything is nature. In Islam, everything is respectful of nature in Islam. Everything is respectful of the nature created by Allah. So, we have to see that Allah wants for us the excellence in this life and in the hereafter. And when Allah first made the human being, He made the human being good, didn't He not? He made him good, didn't He not? He made Adam, the Khalifa, the first man, or the first ruler. He made him good. And he wasn't satisfied with the creatures that were before the creation of man in the role of responsibility on earth. He wasn't satisfied with them. We know that because he introduced the new creation to them. And the Iblis, the leader of the angels, he was disturbed when he saw this. This is what God was going to create. But most of the creatures accepted what God presented. Meaning that most of the creatures accepted man in his first creation.
in his first creation, in his nature, in his life under Mother Nature. All right? They accepted him in his life under Mother Nature. He was most excellent. All but Iblis, according to the word of God in the Quran. All but Iblis. So here God says, he's going to make a man who will be under the rule of intellect. Under the rule of intellect. The angels were under the rule of God. They had no free will, no freedom of mind. They were under the rule of God. Iblis was under the rule of nature. But not Mother Nature, his own nature, separate from Mother Nature. And the nature that he took pride in, from the language that is given, was the nature of his mind. It's given as fire. But this is not the fire of passion in the flesh. And the understanding comes when God says, it is a fire that gives off no smoke. It is a fire that gives off no smoke. So this is the fire of his objective mind, his objective mind, his objective reasoning. That won't admit any water. That won't admit any life. So there's no smoke. That won't admit anything that has anything to yield of impurity or of matter that is separated by fire. Some fire put to it. So it gives off no smoke. It just burns. That's the light of the intellect, the light of knowledge, the light of knowledge. The fire is the reasoning, the rational activity. The fire is the rational activity. Not giving up any smoke, not rejecting anything, not repenting anything, not repenting anything, not rejecting anything. You can see that devil in the Western theory of knowledge, a theory of science. You can see that devil. They call it empiricism. You know what they call it? Empiricism. Objectivity stretched to the limit. Empiricism. Now don't say he told us that's a devil. Now you need more than that to have a living devil. So he took pride in his own intellect. And he said, I'm better than he that you're making of mud. Now mud suggests water, liquid, water. Here you're making a creature of material and water, and the material is so heavy in him that the material can't even construct itself. It can't hold up itself. It's mud. But we know they make bricks out of mud too, huh? They let it dry, they shape it, let it dry, and make bricks out of mud. But the Satan didn't appreciate God given government rule and rule in the earth to the human intellect, that will be trusting his intellect, but upon Mother Nature, respect for Mother Nature. He said, I'm better than he, you made me of fire. I'm better than he, you made me of fire. And Allah says he made neither jinn nor man, but anything other than his servant. So the Iblis went against his nature then, right? If God says it, he made the jinn free for his servant. Now the jinn refused to serve him when he showed the jinn the order that he wanted in the earth under the rule of intellect supported by Mother Nature. The jinn said, I refuse. I can't accept this creature, this despicable creature. You made me better than he. The jinn went against his nature. And the jinn then went out to tempt the man, the Khalifa, to come out of his nature. And he succeeded in getting the man to come out of his nature and follow the jinn, the suggestion of the jinn. This is the devil now, right? He has become the devil now. He's actually working against God's plan in man. He's working against God's plan in man. So now he's the devil. He used to be nothing but the jinn, a leader of the angels, but now jealousy has brought him down to work against God's will for man, God's purpose for man. And he exceeds the man out of his nature. Muhammad the Prophet. It seems inconclusive. Muhammad the Prophet now. He's the one coming in the end of time. That a time now is a time of the progression for scripture, revelation, communication from God to man for his for the building of the order that he wants for us on this earth. So the end is coming for that. The conclusion of that is coming. And Muhammad is the one selected for the conclusion of that. And Muhammad is one who was excellent in the nature created by God. He was excellent in the nature created by God. He was respectful of the excellence in nature. Therefore, he was respectful of the ideal mother in nature. See, nature has many mothers. But nature has one mother that God created, like he created Adam. And Muhammad was respectful of that mother. He kept to the best of the human nature. He kept to the best of the human nature. He never worshipped idols, although that worship was the worship of his society, his day and time that he lived in. But he never worshipped the idols. His people had bad character. Bad character was the typical of his people. But he always had the most excellent character. And the hint is given, well, the revelation is given. Not a hint. The revelation is given when Allah says of Muhammad that he has, to us, of Muhammad, that he has already lived a lifetime among you. A lifetime is that the time of the intellect under Mother Nature. That was the lifetime. Now God said to the angels, to Iblis really, but it was to all of them and to us too, if we understand it, to all life. He said, when I have breathed into him of my spirit, or when I have inspired him of my own spirit, then accept him, submit to him, The word is given as prostrate, but it means just make complete submission. Accept him with your complete self, your complete being. Render your complete life, your complete being in submission to him. Make sense there before him. And actually this says there that's made before Adam is not says there really to Adam. It says there to God. It says that to God. Because you're making such that to that that God ordered to be and to be accepted and obeyed. So your such that is not really to the Adam himself. Your such that is to the plan, to the order, to the will of God for us on earth or in society. That's what the such that is for. We make such that to the Kaaba, don't we? But our sajda is not for the Kaaba, our sajda is for Allah. It's just like the angels are told to bow to Adam. We're told to bow to the Kaaba. Praise be to Allah. I think somebody has it back there. Yes, so we make sajda to the Kaaba, but it's not our sajda is not for the Kaaba, our sajda is for Allah. Praise be to Allah. Now, Muhammad the Prophet then receives revelation from Allah. So when Allah says I'm going to put a ruler in the earth, look how long it took to materialize that Muhammad. In Muhammad that's materialized. Now we know others were given inspiration from God, but none of them were able to come into the next life on this earth. They're only given hints of it. They had a feel for it. They knew that they had to go in this direction to find it. So they pointed us in this direction. The prophets that came, go in that direction. That's where you will find it. Go in that direction. That's where you will find it. But in Muhammad, it was established. Not just found, it was established. I mean, not just looked for, it was established, found, established. So the revelation comes to Muhammad, the prophet, and the revelation is not calling on him to come alive just in his soul. No. The revelation is calling upon him to come alive in his intellect. And the language read makes that very clear. God said to him, not speak. Said read. And we know you need an intellect to read. God said to him, Iqra, Iqra, read. And Muhammad became a reader. His intellect was turned on. His intellect was turned on, but turned on to perform in perfect obedience to God. Because if God is writing and you are reading, your intellect is in perfect obedience to God. But if Plato is writing and you reading, that's not another story. But here God is writing and Muhammad is reading, peace be upon him, in perfect obedience to God. So here is this second breath. Huh? Did God then say he didn't receive a breath? He said, but wait until I have breathed into him of mine. Meaning that he had already been breathed into one. He had been breathed into one, but he was just under the mother nature. But wait until I have breathed into him of my spirit. And the ruh here means my direction for his life. See, ruh, in Arabic, ruh is not just breath. You take breath from still air. The air can be perfectly still, and you get breath from it. But you cannot get breath without movement of air. The air may be still, but for you to get it, it has to start moving. So ruh is moving air. Ruh is moving air, moving in a direction. So it is saying to us, communicating to us, that when we have a definite direction, air is symbolic of the light itself. When we have a definite direction for our life, intent in us, our life, when we have a definite direction for that life, and that direction is given to us by God from the direction in His will, in God's own will, then we will be in accord with the will of God, our life will move in accord with the will of God, and we will be serving God's purpose on this earth, His will and His purpose on this earth. So the rest is just the continuous movement of the intent or the will in our own life toward God's goal that He set for us, toward the goal that God sets for us. That is the ruh of God in us. That's the ruh of God in us. When our intent and our life is moving as God wants us to move in order to reach the destiny or the goal that He wants for us in this life or in this world, then that is the will of God in us, that is the will of God in us, that is God's purpose in us. But it needs education. It needs enlightenment. So the revelation comes to Muhammad, and it is the enlightenment. It is the education. How do we know that the Quran is also the education? It is the mother education. It is the mother education over all mothers. It is the mother education. And we know it from this. God says that Muhammad is the prophet prophesied or promised in the scriptures that went before it to the Jews and to the Christians. He is the prophet. He is that prophet. And God says that He has been put into the world to do what? To purify us, but also to teach us the book, to teach us the Quran and the hikmah. And the hikmah says wisdom, translated wisdom. What is more than wisdom? We need more than just that explanation. I mean, that's hikmah. To teach us the book and the hikmah. He is the one that God gives us to teach us the book and the hikmah. And He is given as a liberator in the scripture, a liberator who will free the people from the bond of slavery and who will take the heavy yoke from their backs that weighs them down. So He is a liberator. This is a liberator, you see, Muhammad. And what liberates us then? Does he know now that he's the liberator? He's the promised liberator that will come to the world and eventually do away with slavery and take oppression from the people? He is that liberator? So how does he liberate? God tells us how he liberates. He teaches, he purifies them. How does he purify them? He purifies them by bringing them to see God's will, and that they are to obey God's will with their whole life and purpose. That's how he purifies them. Their spirit comes in accord with the will of God. So they grow in purity. Then he teaches them. He teaches them what is morally incorrect, what is morally correct, what is decent of a human intelligence, the Khalifa, human being, and what is not decent. So he gives them this simple practical teaching too, but he conditions them, and the conditioning is more powerful than the practical teaching. The conditioning makes their heart right. The conditioning makes them want to give their heart to God. You see? So telling him, you shouldn't eat this thing, it's unclean, or it's bad for you, and telling him that you ought to wear clean clothes, telling him you're not supposed to have a foul tongue, don't use this bad language, this filthy vulgar language, telling him these things,
That's good. We have to do that. But a lot of people don't even need that kind of teacher. When you give them the idea of God for them, their hearts want that. The hearts embrace that. And they know on that, but without reason it. They know not to be vulgar. Their own intelligence comes alive. It comes alive in the right space. And their own intelligence tells them, that's unbecoming of me to behave that way. It's unbecoming of me to speak this way. It's unbecoming of my tongue to lie. So they know that by inner urge. An inner urge in them that's against that saves them from that bad behavior because they have an idea of their life under God. And an idea of God as a perfect God and a just God, a righteous God, the highest in all concepts, the highest in all concepts. He's the highest, the perfect, the highest. So they know that this unbecoming behavior, if something in them urges them to perform better than that, then they don't want that urge that's urging them to perform less than the urge that's telling them to perform on a higher level. So they choose the highest urge because they want to be more acceptable in the presence of that high God. So you don't have to teach them all these little small lessons. Wash your hands before you eat, etc. That's for babies. So I hope you all can see this. Yes, so really we don't know. The most powerful work on us to raise us up is the invisible work that goes on. It's not the most simple reading you make. It's the invisible work that goes on. Allah is conditioning us with His spirit, with His will, with His presence. The presence of His reality compels the human life to get better and better and better. So once you perceive Him correctly and He enters your life correctly, He goes to work, and His work is unseen. And it's the most powerful work. Praise be to Allah. Now, I said that we don't have a term, morality, moral and morality. I don't know any term like that. The closest we can come to that is purity. Purity. God wants that we be purified. This is the Quran. Allah in the Quran tells us that. He does not want to burden us, but He wants that we be purified. So maybe purity is the closest word we can come to the Western idea of moral life. Moral life. The desire in us for purity. The inherent need in us to have more excellence for our life, more elevation for our life, more purity for our life, you see? And the life of purity is for us, and I believe they did get this idea from the ancient thinkers, philosophers, but I do believe they also got it from the Quran. The life of purity comes on two levels. One is what we would call in this world now moral life. And the second, the higher, is the ethical life. And I think we have a resemblance of these two, but not exactly the same. We have a resemblance of these two in Islam, in the Quran. It says that he is the Prophet Muhammad, the liberator, peace be upon him. He is the one that's sent, given to us to purify us. But the word to purify here is from the word Sahara. Sahara. Sahara means purity. Sahara. But it also says, and he is the one to
Yizakee him from Zakah. Zakah. This is not Zakatis. Zakah. Zakah. He's the one to purify them. Again, the second meaning for purification is ethical life. Ethical life. So he is to guide us to moral life, for want of a better word in English. He is the one to guide us to moral life and also to ethical life. We have a reference in Quran. I've gone over my time now. We have a reference in the Quran of this ethical life. It says, "Khul, take from them something of their wealth, so that they will have ethical life." See, I didn't say so that they would to purify them. I didn't say that, did I? That's what it says. Take, the translation that's given says, take something from their wealth to purify them. I said so that they will have ethical life. Take something from their wealth so that they will have ethical life. Now, the greatest influence for keeping ethical life from growing more and more in any country, but we're going to talk about America. In America, in the United States, is the attachment to material things and or to wealth. That's the greatest impediment. The greatest impediment. The ethics committee deal with more problems of material corruption than with problems of sexual misbehavior or any other kind of misbehavior. Is that right or wrong? Yes. Usually when they've done something wrong, somewhere the dollar is involved. Right? Somewhere the dollar is involved. So, if you want to grow the people more and more into ethical life, then take material, take some of their wealth, take some of their wealth.
What we take from him is also given to people who make the sacrifice too. They are people who believe in material purity. Material purity. They believe in material purity too. So they will take this money and they will use it for the best causes. They will give it to the best causes, to the best needs in the society. So this money will go to make the society better, to relieve misery on the weak, on the poor, to make for a better environment, so that they will be better educated, to defend the land against enemies, etc. So we're taking the money to make for a better existence for the people under God. Under God. So this money that you take from a man who has it, if he gives it up, it's going to purify his heart. It's going to purify his spirit. Is going to make his spirit and his heart more in accord with the will of God. Yes, I give it up for Allah's sake. I give it up for Allah's sake. And it is used to better the society. This is the ethical life. So all of this is respecting Mother Nature. And Allah says in the Quran that the mother of Christ Jesus, peace be upon her, she was lifted up above all the mothers. Above all the mothers. Now Muhammad the Prophet didn't have that mother. He didn't have that mother. And he didn't have father. He was orphaned.
He didn't have that mother, and he didn't have the father. He was orphan. But he had the nature of that mother. Yes, he had the nature of that mother. Though he was not the son of that mother, he had the nature of that mother. The nature of the highest mother was in him. The highest mother is the mother that obeys God without question, without thinking, without doubting. That's the highest mother. The mother that doesn't question God. She doesn't want to think of the God said this, that's enough for me. I do it. That's the mother that was raised up above all. Now some mothers, they will ask questions. And maybe they'll obey later. But they'll ask questions. Or they might say, prove it to me first. But there's that special mother, she's been created perfectly to serve God. So when she hears God, she knows God. Mary, when the Holy Ghost came to her, she was frightened because the Holy Ghost appeared as a man. And a man was alone with her. This year she's seeing a man alone with her. So she was frightened because she was obedient, virgin, chaste woman. And now here it looked like a man is in my presence. So she was frightened by it. But when she learned that that wasn't really a man, that that was an angel of God communicating God's purpose for her, to her, then she was comfortable. The only thing she was burdened with was how now will the world look at me? How they won't understand this. I'm going to have a child. They won't understand me. So all of her worry was because of her sense of decency. Her sense of decency. Her great high sense of decency. Here is something that appears like a man in privacy with me. I don't like it. I'm saying by this. What is this? And now you tell me what's going to happen to me? What is this? How am I going to face the world with this here? But when she was assured that this is God, and God is going to handle this, God will handle this, and you will have a child. And the child, then when the child comes, what she does, I'm concluding it. When the child does, what she does, here's a child. And they said, What is this you got here? He points to the child. So who is he? He points to the child. The child speaks. Perfectly obedient woman. Perfectly obedient nature. Understand, we're talking about the nature. Perfectly obedient nature. Nature wasn't made to speak except through the intellect. Right away. Nature can express itself without intellect, but it can't articulate without intellect. But she was the highest of women. She could have, I guess, done a Holy Ghost dance and they would have got to understand it maybe. But she didn't want to say anything. Complete silence. She just pointed to the child. And the child spoke. So he spoke while he was yet in the crib or in the cradle. And he knew, because he was in her nature. He knew while he was not developed yet as an intellect. He knew what he was in the world for. So he told them who he was. And told them that he was made obedient. I've been made obedient. So I hope that you've been able to follow me and not lose the connection with the great respect for the rule of nature. The rule of nature. The highest nature for human life is given in the Virgin and in the Adam, the original Adam, the first Adam. the life that Allah speaks of, and he says, and he has already lived a lifetime among you. That's the highest of nature, human nature. Those two are the highest of human nature. And those two are the ones that God favors with his own communication for the whole of mankind. Those two. Now, when you study this nature and the mother of Christ Jesus, peace be upon them, you see that her nature was given the environment of the religious community under God. She wasn't just any woman now. She was a woman born to the community of believers under God. So her environment was an environment that the believers of God provided for her. Zacharias in the Quran. Zacharias, he provided the environment for us. But for her, pardon me. He provided the environment for her, for Mary, or for Maryam, peace be upon her. But he didn't select from the environment for her. Whenever he came to see if she was hungry or needed something, he found her already taken care of. So the environment was provided for her, but not the selection. He made her own selection. So here is the nature in the best form, able to select, make his own selection without the intellect guiding it. Isn't that a wonderful story? Beautiful story. That's the nature in perfect obedience to its creator. It can make the selection better than the intellect. Yes, it can make the selection better than the intellect. The only thing that enables the intellect to be better in selection, I would say not better, but be, I would say, more freer to select. That's what the revelation does, is when it receives revelation from God. Revelation from God coming to the intellect then makes it, prepares the intellect to make wider selection, much wider selection, but no more, not as accurate. Still not more accurate. When we pray in group, we have an imam ahead of us. When we don't have three enough of group prayer, we pray two people. And it's not the one on the left, on the right, that leads us. It's the one on the left that leads us in prayer. The one on the left that leads us in prayer. So what is that telling us? Without God's revelation, if you're depending just on your intellect, it's best that you follow the best in your nature, not the intellect. Yeah. So we have two, and the one on the left leads. We're following the best in our nature. But when the imam is there, educated, he's learned in the way of God, and he's leading us with the light of God, the light of God's word, we follow him. Because when we follow him, we're following the best in our nature, and we're also following God's communication. The two are going together. All right. So, thank you. And I talked too long. I talked much too long. Might not have time for those questions, brother. Won't have time for the questions. I talked too long. Thank you very much. And we hope that we can continue to stick with nature, even the bad mothers. Don't leave Mother Nature. The bad mothers, let us work on them if we're able to. Let us assist them so we can become better mothers. And the best of mothers is the Ummah of Al-Islam, under the word of God. That's the best of mothers now. Best of mothers for us, and if we live in this mother and stay in this mother, we'll be shaped in her stomach, shaped in her womb, and we'll be delivered perfect human beings if you stay in the mother Ummah
the Ummah to Islam, saying the mother Islam, the 18th. And God says, you are the best of community. God said to Mary, you're the best of the women, right? The best of the women raised up. And God says to the followers of Muhammad, the community of Muhammad, you are the best of communities, raised up or brought out for the good of all people. So if God says we're the best of communities, God is telling us our mother is the best of mothers. Our mother is the best of mothers. And we are raised up or brought out of her, evolved out of her, as for the good of all, evolved upon her, correction, evolved upon her for the good of all people, the whole humanity on this earth. Thank you very much. As-salamu alaykum.
For more on the ministry of Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call or write WDM Publications. Call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.